Your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our study on the Lord's model prayer. Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You know, as I notice this prayer, it seems like there's a transition when we get to verse 11, about halfway through. Up till now, we looked at this relationship that we have with God, if you are a child of God, our Father. We then looked at the reality of God, who art in heaven. Most of the world lives in a false reality. They believe that there is no God. They are living a April Fool's or a Fool's Day every day, thinking in their heart there is no God, but the reality of the fact there is a God in heaven, and He has given us His Son to pay for our sins. That's the reality. Not only that, the prayer goes on and says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about reverencing God. He is not just our Father, although we have that relationship, He is our Creator. He is completely without blemish. There is no darkness in Him, the Bible says, at all. He was perfect. And so because of that, while we have the relationship of Father, we don't come to Him brashly or crassly and say, give me what I want, like a spoiled baby. We come to Him understanding that while He wants us to have a parental, in a sense, relationship with us, He is still the Creator God. We talked about His reign in verse 10. It says, Thy kingdom come. Of course, we know that one day He will reign the earth with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, but I don't believe this is just talking about His millennial kingdom. We talked about how He should be ruling in our hearts today. And then we said, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We said this was a releasing or a relinquishing our will to His. This morning, I want to remind you that praying is about requesting. You know, as I said, it seems like there's a transition here. We're talking about God and who He is and His holiness and everything about Him. But then it seems like we come to a screeching halt and the focus is no longer seeming upward, but instead it seems inward. It almost sounds selfish. God, You're holy and You're wonderful and You deserve our praise. And by the way, give me what I need today. I'm going to tell you this morning that this phrase is perhaps more of an act of worship than any of the other things that we've looked at thus far. Even though we're making a request for ourselves, I'll tell you this, the spotlight is still shining on our great God. For as truly as prayer is about this adoration and it's about the devotion and worship, it's also about dependence. So today we're going to consider just this one little phrase, give us this day our daily bread. First thought I want to give you this morning about this little phrase is the conviction of this prayer. The conviction of this prayer. You know, by praying, this little phrase, or the idea behind this phrase, what we're saying is I believe in a few things. There's a few things that this verse tells us that we must believe in order to be able to pray like Jesus Christ did. And in essence, as I said, we are entering into a time of worship. Listen, daily devotion is not just read a chapter and say, Lord, do this. Listen, that's not what it should be. time that you have with God every day should be a wonderful time of worship and adoration. At the end of our study, I'm going to give you an acronym called CATS, C-A-T-S. I'm not going to it today, but really, to me, it summarizes the entire Lord's Prayer. If you don't like CATS, then you might be able to do ACTS, all right? But we'll talk about that in another week or two when we finish looking at the rest of the model prayer. But understand that this one phrase is going to help us to understand that you've got to have some convictions when you pray. You've got to believe that God is able to do some things. And so I want to tell you that this morning, if you're able to pray, give me my daily bread, you've got to have some convictions about God's power. Do you understand that? I believe wholeheartedly one of the reasons Christians do not pray on a regular basis is because they think God is impotent and unable to do anything for them. Well, I pray and I don't see anything happen. He must not hear me, and so he can't work in this situation. Because let me tell you something. If you truly believe that God could affect the situation you're in, if he could do something in order to help you grow as a Christian, in order to help you through whatever circumstance, wouldn't you pray? If you had a neighbor down the road that was willing to help you out and you were in dire need, listen, you'd go running down there knocking on the door. Hey, you said if I ever needed something, well, listen, I need this today. You do it because you believe them and they have the ability to do it. Listen, you ought to have some conviction. You ought to have some belief that God can do something. He is powerful enough to be able to do what he said he can do. I think about what Job said in Job 42:2. I know thou canst do everything. Do you believe that about God? I'm not asking if you've said that about God. I'm not even really asking if you have an intellectual understanding of that. I'm asking you, do you really believe that with the wholeness of your heart? Do you believe that there is nothing that is impossible for God? We say no, but our prayer lives tell us another story. You say, listen, I believe that God can do anything. Then why don't you ask him to do something for you? By the way, let me just get off on a little side road here, if I can, just for a moment, and say this. I think that maybe the Lord doesn't want me to. It just left my brain just as quick as it came. That's terrible. I'm going to be submissive to the Lord here. That rarely happens. It comes and goes that quickly. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Is that true in your life? Do you believe that? That nothing is impossible? I think we pray a lot of general prayers, and that's what I was going to say just a minute ago. We pray in generalities. Lord, give me a good day today. Lord, help me to have a good day. And at the end of the day, y'all might as well just say, Lord, thank you for giving me a good day, because you really didn't give any good specifics in there in the first place, right? We ought to pray specifically. You ought to pray in a way that when God answers, you can say, you know what, God did that. God did that. I don't think it's wrong to say, Lord, help me to find someone to give a track out to, or help me to have boldness. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I think you ought to pray with some specificity in your life, because then you can see the thumbprint of God in whatever situation that you're in. But I think we fear praying specifically because if God doesn't answer that way, well, then maybe our faith is shaky. Well, maybe he doesn't hear me. Maybe he's not working. Maybe it's useless to pray. Or maybe what he's doing is stretching our faith. And maybe what he's doing is allowing us to grow and to be conformed to his image. It's not a time to quit when we haven't heard from God. It's a time to persevere and to press on with our prayers. Do you believe in God's power? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." Can you think pretty abundantly? "According to the power that worketh in us." I want you to think about the God that you serve. The God that created the worlds out of nothing. There's a fancy theological phrase called ex nihilo. That means he didn't start out with dirt and create the universe. It means he started with nothing, and with his spoken voice created the galaxies that we are in the midst of today. That is the God that we serve. Do you think a God that created everything that you see and things that you can't even imagine seeing out in outer space, do you think he can take care of you? Do you think he's that powerful? Or did his power stop at the creation experience? If that's your line of reasoning, you're nothing more than a deist who says God got the world spinning and he's a million miles away. You say, I don't believe that. I believe God's a personal God. Does your prayer life reflect that belief? Or is it something you say, but you don't live? We can incorporate some of our beliefs, some of our convictions about what we believe into our lives. We can't walk around with just a bunch of head knowledge. It's got to manifest itself in the way that we live our lives. Otherwise, we'll be nothing more than just an encyclopedia of biblical knowledge. We want to be an example to the world around us. God kept millions of Israelites alive for 40 years in a desert. I don't know if you know this or not, it's not real easy to grow crops when you're moving every day, let alone in a desert that doesn't get any rain. But God kept them, provided for their needs. I believe he provided for many of their wants. If God can do that, can he take care of you? Is he powerful enough in your life? Do you believe, do you have a conviction about God's power? Not just with your lips, but with your life. We sing the song to kids, He is able, He is able. They even have hand motions, but I don't understand the hand motions, so I'm not going to do them. Somebody, if you speak sign language and you can tell me what this means, okay, I just don't get it. But while I may not understand the hand motions, the simple truth to that little children's song is profound and should affect every Christian's lives on a daily basis. He is able. He's powerful. Do you have some convictions about not only the power of God, but the promises of God? You know, when we ask God, or when we pray this little prayer, we're confessing that we believe that God is a truth teller and not a liar. Do you realize that? You're saying, God, I believe what you've said because you do not lie. And as a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear to tell us that he's going to take care of his own. I want you to turn your, if you need to, your Bible over to the end of chapter 6 here in Matthew. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Really, if you start in verse 25 and read through there, you'll find out that God is promising to take care of his children. It tells us the same thing in Philippians 4:19. It tells us the same thing in Psalm 37:25. And we understand that God has given us promise after promise after promise after promise. And I wonder today, do any of you pray God's promises in your prayer lives? Oh God, listen, you've promised to take care of me. I'm struggling at this point, and will you help me? And Lord, maybe I'm struggling with my health, but Lord, I'm not saying that he's going to heal you, but he'll give you the strength, and he'll be there right alongside whatever trial that you're going through, because he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. Those are the promises that we should be grasping onto. Too often our prayers, God, get me out from under the heat. Get me out of this thing. When what he's trying to do is refine us and work on us and allow us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think we ought to cling to some of the promises that will help us to be better Christians, remembering that God's going to be with us. Remember that God's going to provide for us. Whatever the trial is that you're going through, I promise you, God has a promise in here for you. But you got to believe it. You got to believe that he is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do. By the way, God is not a Scrooge. I don't know what your perception of God is. Sometimes we get a perception of God from our human parents or fathers or male figures. And I think sometimes we get this idea that God's a tightwad. I want you to turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. We'll look at that a little bit more tonight. But I want you to know that God, even as we said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, is able to do exceeding and abundantly above that we ask or think. Listen, He's no stingy God. But you know, just as a human father will occasionally do something kind for his children, God does things kindly to us that we never deserve. But you know, when my child is coming and asking for something, I'm much more apt to do that for them, especially if they're persistent, and reverencing and loving and kind and all those things that we've talked about. But understand, I wonder how many blessings we miss out on simply because we do not believe in the person of God. He said we have a conviction about the promises of God, about the power of God, but also the person of God. Do you believe your God is a good God? Our God is perfect. He is a good God. And so we think, unfortunately, we think, well, I better not pray this because God will never do that for me. Almost as if to say, you know what? He doesn't love me. He's too tight-fisted. Now, we may be trying to say we're not worthy, and we're not worthy of any of the things that God gives to us. Don't think for one second that if you get a blessing from God, it's because God loves you more than somebody else. It's because in His benevolence, because of His lovingness to mankind, that He has blessed you. Now, listen, I'm not saying don't feel guilty about God's blessing. I've seen this before as well. God blesses, and it's like, oh, I'm just so undeserving, and I don't... Hey, listen, if God's blessed you, praise God for it. Rejoice in His goodness in your life. God, of course, has given the greatest gift. We talked about it in Sunday school, Brother Hanky was talking about Emmanuel, God with us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved that He gave. Christ is the greatest gift that He could ever give. And so when we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking not just for sustenance, bread daily, physical sustenance. I believe we're asking for, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. We see the conviction of this prayer. I want to look at very quickly the confidence of this prayer. Not only does this prayer honor the Lord by worshiping Him as a great provider, as our creator, as a great giver, it also expresses our total dependence on Him. I want you to notice a few things about this confidence. Number one, it's a prayer of humility. You realize when you go to someone else and ask them for something, what you're saying is, I cannot provide this myself. There is a humbling attitude that has to take place. If you do go down two doors down or something and ask your neighbor for something, there's a little bit of you that doesn't want to go. Why? Because you don't want to humble yourself to ask somebody for something that you don't have, because what you're declaring to that person is, I can't provide this for myself. The truth of the matter is, without God working in our life to give us strength, to give us health, listen, never wake up in the morning and say, look all what I have, look what I've accomplished, look what I have in the bank, because, listen, whether it's the job that God's given you or the health that God's given you to go work that job, it's all from God. And so as we go to God, it's a humbling experience to say, God, everything I have is from you. That's not just temporally speaking. I'm talking about spiritually as well. And so as we look at salvation, I think if you've been saved for a while, and or even if you've grown up in a Christian home, or there's been a time in your life where you've just kind of gotten in the rut, and you almost think of being a Christian as being superior to everyone around us that is not a Christian. Well, I want to tell you, that is the wrong, wrong mentality. Our God is greater, but we are not. And so as we go to God, we are having confidence in what He is able to do in our lives, both temporally and spiritually. And so when we pray, we're really admitting our weakness and our inability, and we're acknowledging that God is able even when we're not. You hear some people say that I'm a self-made man or woman. And I submit to you this morning, there's no such thing. Paul worded it this way, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If we have anything, if we are anything, it is only by the grace of God. So we must realize that this prayer is a prayer of humility. I believe it's also a prayer of honesty. The idea of the simple prayer is, give us every single day what we need in order to accomplish your will. All right? To give us that which is necessary for life. And as I said earlier, I don't believe necessarily it's just a request for physical bread, because the truth of the matter is, here in America, I doubt there's anybody in here this morning that asked God to give them the food that they needed for the rest of the day. Why? Because it's in the cabinet. It's in the cupboard. It's in the pantry. God has blessed us abundantly. Now, I'm not saying we don't stop and thank Him for what He's given. We usually always stop right before we eat, and you ought to thank God for what He's given you. But I don't believe this is just a physical or asking for physical bread. I believe there are countries and people that probably do ask every day, God, I need to eat today. Will you provide for me? But can I tell you, I believe that Christians start out their day and they're just wandering around in the forest, forgetting all about the lion that is roaming about seeking to devour them. Listen, we need to be girded up every single day, and we ought to ask God, God, give me what I need from you today to help me to please you with my life. Help me to finish today more like Jesus Christ than when I woke up. That is praying for our daily bread. That is praying for what we need in order to make it through this day. You say, do you need the power of God in your life? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're going to be a victorious Christian, if you are going to do what God wants you to do today, you need His power. You say, I recognize that. I need God's power. Do you ask for it? Do you go to Him and request it? That's like saying, you know what? I know I need gas in my car, and I see that it's close to empty, but I think I can make it to the next rest stop before I run out of gas. I hope none of you have done that, like me. I remember I had a 84 Camaro, and the speedometer went like this, and sometimes so did the fuel gauge. And you watch your miles, and you think you're pretty good, but if you've ridden it a little hard that time, you might be a little lower and on fumes than what you thought. I can only remember running out of gas one time, and it taught me a lesson. I never wanted to run out of gas again. This is before cell phones, by the way. Before you just call somebody up and say, hey, come get me. This is where you're on the side of the road, walking, thinking, how am I going to get the gas back to my car? It's no fun to run out of gas in a car, but I'll tell you this, it's no fun to live the Christian life without the power of God in it either. And if you say you want the power of God, and you recognize that you need the power of God, why won't you spend some time every morning filling up your tank and asking Him for it? Do you think He's going to withhold that? Do you think He's not going to give you what you need? Do you think He's stingy? What is it that prevents you from asking Him? Is it a lack of belief? Is it a lack of confidence? I'm telling you, we can have confidence in what He's telling us here. Someone once said this, yesterday is a canceled check, It's already been redeemed. Tomorrow is a promissory note. It may never be paid. But today, today is the cash in hand. So spend it wisely. What am I saying? I'm saying there's not a whole lot of need to pray about yesterday's needs. Or for yesterday, because yesterday's, it's already passed. But I am saying we need to pray for today. Today, give us this day. What do you need from God today that's going to help you in your Christian walk with Him? You need the power of God. You need to ask Him for it. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:34, as I read earlier, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What are you saying? I'm saying, what are you asking about for God today? Don't ask God for power in your life 2 weeks from now. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God to help you on your finals in a week or next Tuesday or whatever, and Lord, help me retain what I'm studying, or maybe there's a job interview or whatever it is. I don't think it's wrong to pray about things that are coming up, but I think if we're neglecting asking God for what we need today, then there's a problem. There's a problem. Because we need God's power today. And far too many people are living on yesterday's manna. It's stale. It's moldy, has worms in it. What you need is fresh bread daily from God. You got to be walking with Him daily. It's been said that when you eat your daily bread, remember that a kernel of wheat had to fall to the ground and die to give you that bread. One author said, as you pass through this life, never forget that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in your place so that you might have Him as your bread of life day by day. Listen, you need Him. Don't be afraid to call upon Him. You can have confidence that He hears you. I hope that you have some convictions about what God can do. I hope that you have some confidence about what God can do. John Wesley displayed this kind of confidence. He said, once Wesley was asked by a friend, supposing, Mr. Wesley, that you knew this was to be your last night on earth, how would you spend it? He said, well, at 4 o'clock, I would have some tea. And at 6 o'clock, I would visit Mrs. Brown in the hospital. Then at 7:30, I would conduct midweek service at chapel. At 9:10, I would have my supper. And at 10 o'clock, I would go to bed. And in the morning, I would wake up in glory. That's confidence. That's a contentment as well. That's the kind of perspective I believe that we need to have. Enough to do what God wants us to do today to please Him. Do you ask Him? It's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of honesty. But I believe it's also a prayer of happiness. The simple prayer is, I'm willing to accept the things that you will send into my life today. Another word is contentment. I may not always like the bread God sends my way. There's not too much different kind of bread that I don't like. But you can find something with the nuts or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something I don't like. It's not there. Some of y'all may not like pumpernickel or some kind of bread, but if you're hungry enough, you'd eat it. If you're hungry enough for God's righteousness in your life, you're going to accept what He gives you. God, give me what I need. Give me what I need. Do you believe God knows best? Do you believe God wants you to be happy? I believe that there is a joy that God gives us that He wants us to have. We may not like our circumstances all the time, but when we rest in the fact that God knows best, there is a joy in our heart. There is a happiness, a contentment that can fill us, that peace that God promises. I believe the contentment is probably one of the greatest challenges that we as American Christians face. We are constantly bombarded, hour after hour, with advertisements, with billboards, whether it's on the radio or the internet or banners or whatever we see. There is something always trying to gain our attention, telling us that we ought not be content with what we have. You need this. The only way you're going to be happy is if you get this. Have you ever thought about that? You need to eat this. the only way you can do this is if you have this. And listen, all those advertising has one purpose, to make you discontent. I hope you realize that. Because there's part of our flesh that says, oh, that would be nice. Oh, I do need that. Oh, this would make my life easier. And we'll just buy right into it. And sometimes we're looking for something to convince us that we need this thing. And my phone's 6 months old, and this new one came out, and you know what? I've prayed about it, and I know it's God's will for me to get a new one. Amen. Well, can we be content with what God's given us? I'm not saying it's wrong to get new things, but if our pursuit of happiness is found, or if we're looking for happiness in the pursuit of things, then we're never going to find it. We're going to have to be content with what God has given us, not only temporally, but spiritually as well. I think we look and we think, boy, if I could just be like this person over here, and sometimes we set people on a pedestal, and boy, they're perfect, and if I could just have a family like them, or if I could live like them, then really I'd have God's blessings. Wait a second, you're not them. And first of all, you don't know what trials and problems they may have behind closed doors. But what God does want you to do is to be content with who and how He made you. You look in the mirror and you say, boy, that doesn't look really good. No, that's how God made you. Be content. I'm being a little facetious, but I will tell you this. There is a huge image problem, especially with young ladies coming up today. And they're looking at these magazines and the billboards and all these different things. And the idea is, I'm not pretty. And I'm not good enough. And in our society, all the weight is placed on outward externals. Let me tell you, God created you. Because of that, you have worth. I'm not talking about self-esteem. I'm not talking about building your inner person. I'm talking about the worth that every human being has because they are created by God. You do not have to measure yourself according to some magazine or some a pop star or something that is out there that is the definition by the world. All right? Go according to what makes you beautiful, according to God's word, which is the hidden man of the heart, or the hidden woman. Your beauty is determined by your godliness. And so make sure that you have the right measuring stick. Be content. And when I say be content, I'm not talking about satisfied with where you are spiritually. I'm talking about be content with how God made you, but pursue His righteousness in your life. Very quickly, we've looked at the consecration, at the conviction of this prayer, at the confidence that we can have when we pray this prayer. I want to look at the comprehensiveness of this prayer as well. On the surface, it seems quite simple. Give us this day our daily bread. Seems pretty straightforward, but I think when you think about it, it is huge in its scope. First of all, it's a selfless prayer. It's a selfless prayer. Notice the words. It doesn't say, give me this day, my daily bread. It says, give us, and it says, our. And so it's not a prayer that can be prayed selfishly. Is selflessly. Tells me that we ought to be praying one for another. Does that sound like another biblical theme that runs through the Bible? Bear each other, one another's burdens, it says in Galatians. We looked at that. We see that in Philippians 2:4, it says, look not on every man his own things, but every man also on the things of others. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That means get carries with it the idea of well-being, all right? Not talking about gold digging. What it talks about is bearing one another's burdens. I think it is good and right for someone to pray for themselves. There's this idea that, oh no, I can't pray for myself. That, listen, Jesus, others, and then if there's any time, then I pray for myself. You know, the acronym JOY, Jesus, others, you. I'm going to tell you, you'll be very little use if you don't get God's power in your own life. You know, when you're flying and the stewardess is up front, and she's going through the thing, and she has that little mask. How many of you have ever seen that? And you can almost recite that. Brother Beale, you might could come up here and recite that thing by now for as much as you travel. Don't worry, I'll not ask you to. But what do they say? They say before you can help somebody else, you've got to get that mask on yourself. Because if you're fumbling around trying to get the mask on your kid and you pass out, then both of you are going to be no good. You know, the same principle is true in God's Word. You've got to make sure that your tank is full before you can go out and start praying and helping other people. You'll be able to help them from the overflow of your life and your relationship with God. And so as we look at this prayer, it's a matter of being selfless, but listen, not at the expense of your time with God. You understand? Asking for things that you need from God for that day. We are to bear one another's burdens. Listen, if you know that a brother or sister in Christ is hurting, and you are callous, I'll just tell you, you need to read a book of James and find out that you are nowhere close to being spiritual. But when you hurt, because someone in the... That doesn't mean necessarily you can always meet everybody's needs, but you know, when somebody in our church hurts, everybody ought to hurt. When somebody rejoices in our church, you ought to be able to rejoice with them as well. I'll tell you the truth, there's been times not that long ago, I don't think I could pray for myself effectively. When I was going through those headaches, I can tell you it was probably one of the hardest times, not just in ministry, in my life, but I could tell other people were praying for me. And I believe God answered those prayers. And I'm so thankful for those of you that have faithfully prayed and helped me to get through. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to get through a trial. I understand that. But I can tell you there are times maybe when a brother or sister are not even able to pray for themselves. We talk about the groaning of the Spirit makes intercession for them. But what about the other brothers and sisters in Christ that are interceding on their behalf? It's a ministry. By the way, you may say, I can't go door-to-door soul winning. You know, I'm not able to go out and visit like I used to be able to. I understand that. But can I tell you something today? You can be a prayer warrior that stands up in the throne room of God and has great effect as much as somebody that is knocking on doors because they're able to. Do you understand that? Your ministry is not done because of your physical inability. You have a powerful, powerful ministry if you'll take advantage of it. It's not only selfless, but it is sufficient. One commentator said, give us this day the things sufficient for our substance. It's a humble request to God to provide everything we need. Trust Him for what we need day by day. Do you trust Him to give you what you need? Are you constantly looking around the corner for more and more and more? Can you be content with what God's given you? I will tell you this. God wants to give us blessings. I believe if we will go to Him, He will give us blessings that we couldn't even ask or think. It's not the health and wealth prosperity. It's called a loving God who wants to bless us in our lives. God's not tight-fisted, mean-spirited, or heartless, but I believe He delights in watching His children rejoice in His goodness. Robert McShane was a great Scottish preacher who was mightily used of God until his death when he was only 29 years old. Here's what he said. He said, God will either give you what you ask or something far better. One preacher named Samuel Chadwick said this, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless study, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Let me encourage you today to go to the Father and tell Him about the needs that are in your life. Listen, you don't have to be afraid or ashamed. You don't have to limit your praying just to large matters in your life. I think He cares about every decision we have to make. I think He cares about whatever we bring to Him. I want to remind you that in Jeremiah 33:3, He says, call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. John 14, in verses 13 and 14 says, and whatsoever ye ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in My name, I will do it. Matthew 21:22 says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That's not a name it and claim it. That is praying, by the way, according to God's will. You understand that? That's not for our lusts that we get or that's for our misasking, so we can consume it upon our lust. That's asking according to God's will. And when we have determined God's will and we're praying for it, do you think He's going to give it to us? I believe He will. That's what the Bible says. We started several weeks ago saying, hey, let's just start praying 5 minutes every day. I'm not going to ask you if you've been faithful or if you've missed a day. And then the next week we added another minute. So if you look at the relationship reality, the reverencing, the reigning, the relinquishing, and the requesting, I'd say we're at about 10 minutes every day. As I said before, don't shrink it down. Don't go down to 10 if you're already praying more than that. But what we're trying to do is build that spiritual muscle to where we continue and endure and grow in this thing called prayer. Do you have the power of God in your life? Do you have what you need to face every single day? Do you have some convictions about your prayer, about believing God's power, His promises, and His person? Do you have the confidence, believing that He's able and willing to give you what you need? And then do you have do you believe that this prayer is all encompassing to give you what you need? It's one little short phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you pray that? I'm not asking verbatim. I'm asking, do you incorporate going to God and getting what you need on a daily basis? If not, don't say, I believe prayer works, because your life doesn't flesh it out. But if not, why not commit to asking God daily for the power that you need to please Him in your life? Start off just with 10 minutes every day. Hopefully you're growing in this area. And we're going to keep this up. Even after this study, I'm just going to work you up to about 20 or 30 minutes a day. You can continue growing on after that. But we can't have a church of prayerless prayer warriors going out to battle without any ammunition, without any armor, saying that we believe all that works. You know what happens? We just get mowed down day after day after day. But if we go out with the power of God, because we've gone to Him and asked Him, well, I tell you, that's like suiting up, putting some rounds in, and ready for war. Don't say you believe in prayer. Start living as though you believe.